Welcome to the latest episode of Schnepps Connects. Today, I'm really excited because I want to introduce our guest, who is Jason Bercher, the third generation owner of the renowned restaurant Veselka. And I could say renowned because I've been there and I love it. And I've been going for many years. It's its 70th anniversary. And Veselka, to this day, remains a beloved fixture in New York City, dishing out Ukrainian soul food right from the heart of the East Village. Jason is a proud Ukrainian-American and staunch advocate for a free and democratic Ukraine. He's here to share his insights and experiences over the many years of operating the restaurant. And today we're going to really be celebrating the history, the culture, the flavors of Veselka. And Jason, it's great to have you here.
Thank you so much. I mean, you praised me there with a beautiful intro. It's been a labor of love. I love what I do. And I'm very proud that, you know, I have the ability to be where I am and, you know, continue on this family legacy when so many other businesses who are similar to me have not been able to survive the many, you know, difficulties and challenges that businesses face in this city in the trying times of 9/11, Superstorm Sandy, blackouts, the pandemic of 100 years. I mean,
sure.
There's so much. But I'm proud to be where I am and just am grateful for the opportunities to now expand the brand, which I'm hopefully we'll get into.
Well, listen, you know, I hopefully you won't be offended, but I always say anybody in the restaurant business is nuts. So the fact that you're in the third generation of it, you know, is amazing, because I always say the restaurant business is the hardest because it's 24/7. And everyone knows you can't control every aspect of a business when you run a business. And with a restaurant, everything's got to work great. Because if the customer service isn't good, people won't come back. If the food isn't good, people won't come back. If they have to wait too long, they won't. You know, if there's so many elements, and that has nothing to do with ordering the food, making sure the food is fresh, and dealing with the city and all the, you know, regulations that there are around restaurants. So I just give you a lot of credit for, you know, being a third generation business, let alone.
And on top of that, restaurants make pennies on the dollar as takeaways. So you really have to love what you do. And when you say you got to be nuts, one of our adages on our murals outside, it says we serve soup to nuts. So from one nut to another.
There you go.
I mean, that's what attracts me and keeps me going, you know, day after day.
Well, share a little bit about the history. Go back to the beginning for us and share how the story began.
So my grandfather, a Ukrainian immigrant, came here in the late 1940s with his wife, and they had two small children at that time, escaping Russian oppression. And it's sad to say that history is repeating itself these days. Mm. Found a sponsor family from Ukraine to bring him here. One of his earliest jobs was sweeping the night porter at Schaefer Beer in Baltimore. And he finally moved up to the New York City area in the early 1950s. He was a proud Ukrainian who believed in, he was a member of an organization called FOST, which is a Ukrainian scout organization that not only, they don't designate between boys and girls, all children of genders go to the same camp. And it was important for him and other members that he teamed up with here. They taught Ukrainian language, Ukrainian culture, songs, and then, you know, in the scouts, you learn how to survive in the wilderness, how to build a fire, how to build a camp. And he was one of the founding members of the New York chapter of this organization. Again, there wasn't a free Ukraine at that time, but he was a staunch Ukrainian and always envisioned a democratic Ukraine. He was tasked, one of his earliest being a member of this organization, was to feed fellow members in a small space, about the tenth of the size, still at the same corner here on 9th and 2nd in Manhattan. And over years, he's expanded. He was basically your Ukrainian at that time in the 1954, he started this, celebrating 70 years, was a Ukrainian bodega of sorts, sold newspapers, cigars, lighters, pens, pencils, and a few odds and ends regarding Ukrainian cuisine, borscht, coffee, you know, some two or three different fillings of the handmade pierogies, or what we call vareniki. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning.
I love it. So, you know, it's funny how people always think you have to start big. And, you know, he really started, especially I saw some of the pictures on your website. It was almost like a newsstand.
A newsstand candy store of sorts.
So how did the business begin to grow? Where did it find itself going?
So I had a very interesting kind of side story. My mother, who was my grandfather's daughter, my maternal mother, met my father, who is of American, Scottish, Irish background, at a college mixer early on in their college careers, and tied the knot. I was born, and my father came into the business to help out temporarily and took over the business when my grandfather suddenly passed a few years after him working here. He was a workaholic and he was very involved, and it was an A-type personality. He couldn't step away, spent a lot of long hours here. And then my father, who married into the family, started working with him for a few years. And then the family decided that he was the best to carry on. My grandmother was still alive, but passed a few years ago. Trusted him to take Basoka to the next level, or meaning, well, continue to try to build it as best as he could. Mm-hmm. The 70s were a really difficult time for my father. He remembers the city going bankrupt, sanitation strikes. If you believe it or not, the Second Avenue subway had started its original construction downtown here, right in front of the restaurant. And he remembers very vividly that there was no sidewalk. You know, if you recall the Second Avenue subway, when it was done uptown a few years ago, those businesses that were adjacent to Second Avenue suffered dearly. Oh. Not only because of the construction, but what do you think the street does? What happens when you dig up the street? Not only dust, but I don't want to fill in the blanks, the rodents.
Yeah, sure.
So it was very difficult for him. But, you know, when they decided they walked away from they dug their original tunnel here, still under here, but they ended up closing it up because the funds ran out. The city was had its issues. The drugs, the village went through a whole different realm of, you know, cycles. I always believe the city goes through its cyclical moments in different terms of politicians or eras. In the early 1980s, he decided to do something a little bit different and expand the menu to some American classics mixed in with some Ukrainian and expand on the Ukrainian classics, and was able to add another dining room of sorts. There was multiple businesses down 9th Street between 2nd and 1st that the Plast organization owned. And as one business went out, my father took over the next storefront downward the block and was able to expand as necessary or as needed, or what he thought would be that he could make work. We got our first review, if you remember, and I think it's still available. I think maybe it's more of an online publication now. The Village Voice, if you remember, in its heyday in the 80s, everybody waited for Tuesday night. It had want ads, it had reviews, it had, you know, interesting articles. Our first review that he remembers was in 1980 about our mushroom barley soup that drew more people, the bohemians, the people that wanted to. We were always been, I think to this date, considered a great bang for the buck. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to walk out of here, you know, empty stomach, or you're going to, you know, as my grandmother added, I'm going to feed you like a pig until you can't, you know, crawl out of here and not break the piggy bank. And we've only built from there. I mean, I don't want to give credit to Giuliani in his heyday when he was mayor. He cleaned up the city here, cleaned up Thompson Square Park. It was a homeless campment. And things changed from there. I started in 1990 or 1989. I was the one that was credited for, you know, that started the 24-hour business. It was never didn't start that way. We used to open till midnight or one. Me coming out of college in 1989, it was early 1990. My father said, you know, if we're going to do this, let's see if we can do this to the best of our ability. And he said, let's try opening overnight. It's on you.
Who needs sleep? It's overrated.
I was 21 out of college. I thought, you know, right. I can make this work. So there, you know, that's how the overnight started.
And but, who were your patrons in the beginning, in the middle of the night?
You know what? It was mostly industry types. And it was just people, there were a lot of insomniacs, you know, and then there were kind of oddball people that wanted to play cards or play chess in the corner, you know, for a few hours and have a cup of coffee. Or it was a strange, but, you know, no, what am I going to say? It wasn't a dangerous crowd per se. It was an innocent crowd. And then as we initially did it just a few nights per week, Friday and Saturday, and it was such a success that we did it 7 nights And it was a little slow, to be honest, in the beginning. But after a few months, I think a lot of people have recollections of visiting Veselka late at night. I mean, from 1990 until 2020, 30 years of a 24-hour business, we had many accolades of best diners, best food, best 24-hour, because it wasn't your typical diner. You can get borscht or pierogies or eggs and bacon and challah toast. Since the pandemic, though, I have not gotten back to 24 hours, but we're now just a few weeks ago announced that we're going to try to go back to weekends again by Memorial Day. It's a big task.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So
happy. Well, hopefully it's not you that has to stay up all night anymore.
No, not this time.
Talk to me about the origin of the name and what the name Veselka means.
So many people have equated it to different things. I mean, it literally means rainbow in Ukrainian. And I don't know why my grandfather really named it that. I kind of created a story in my head. But also there is a big sign in that we have lip block letters up on my eagle's nest that overlooks the dining room that says Veselka is love, which I think a lot of people just feel they, you know, it's a comfort food. It's a comfortable place. The vibe is just a loving atmosphere. That's what I might take away all these years. But I think my grandfather, or what I put together, my grandfather named it Veselka. It's because what do you find at the end of the rainbow? Pot of gold. I think he came here with nothing. He came with the clothes on his back and a small bag. And he always envisioned to create something that would last for his family and create some pot of gold that they can live off of. He's done a great job in setting us up. And obviously my father, 55 years here, has done his homework and has put a lot of love, sweat, and tears. But most recently, I ran into an old family member who remembers. My grandfather passed when I was 6 years old. He passed in 1972. I was born in 66. You know, and maybe this sounds a little corny or, you know, a little Blade Runner or AI. What can you do on the rainbow? You can transcend to other places. Mm-hmm. This rainbow reached Ukraine. He brought a little piece of Ukraine via the rainbow to New York. Knowing him and his character, yeah, the pot of gold. It wasn't money driven. He did something to support his family, but I don't think he envisioned. My father said he died of a massive heart attack because he was just hardworking and didn't take care of himself the way he should. That I don't know if it was about so much about the money, but about keeping a piece of Ukraine here. And obviously, it was a big piece of Ukraine in his heart, and he wanted to make sure that there was some piece of Ukraine here in New York. So via the rainbow, he brought what he could and what he remembered and started this business. And now, as you know, we're very staunch. You know, I believe in a free Ukraine. What's happening there is very sad, tragic, disappointing with the way it's playing out in Putin's hands. He always envisioned this in a long war, but I don't want to get on a soapbox about that too much.
No, but let's talk about how people have maybe found your restaurant as a place to congregate because of the shared effect that this war has had on people. I have to imagine that you became somewhat of a community center for people that want to come together to be of support to Ukraine. I know that you were gaining a lot of press because people want to know where you stood on the situation. Obviously, a lot of people have been hanging Ukrainian flags. So, I mean, talk a little bit maybe about what has,
I have to preface that by, you know, Veselka has always been this kind of, I've always thought of it as a community center of sorts. And my father had always, you know, when other businesses closed during tragic events, what I can think of, 9/11, especially below 14th Street here in Manhattan, all businesses were told to close. It was a frozen zone.
Yep.
And I was working here. I remember it vividly that people were in shock and dismay, and you know, they wanted to be around other people and share or commiserate or, you know, just be around other people and share comfort food or stories. Are you okay? Are you okay? And through many situations similar to that, blackout, Superstorm Sandy, my father had always said, you know, we have to be here for the community. We're not closing. You know, during the blackouts, you know, we had after Superstorm Sandy that wiped out our local Con Ed plant. There was no power here for a week, but we stayed open and served cold sandwiches and did the best of what we could. It just resonated with me that we had to always be available to our loyal customers. And when the war began, obviously, even before the war began, the Russians amassed those thousands, hundreds of thousands of troops. I always see the glass half full versus half empty. I'm a very big believer in optimism, you know, because if we think down on the other side, we go down a black hole and we can't, it can get really dangerous. It's hard enough doing what I do and have a pessimistic view. I'm similar to you. I have a very few hair follicles left. But when the war started, I was disappointed. I was shocked and I didn't know what to take away from it. I don't know if I really prepared myself for it, but our customers definitely prepared me for it because they came out in droves. Double or triple the amount of people coming here in a daily, lining up as of 9 a.m. till closing, till 11 p.m. And not just, you know, to come enjoy the food, but more about connecting with, you know, majority of my Ukrainian staff that's become extended family of theirs, of, you know, how are your family? And asking me and others who are connected to the business, how can we help? You know, this is a tragedy where, you know, we're with you. And early on, there were so many ways to contribute, and we were partnering with our local Ukrainian Catholic Church on East 7th Street. People were bringing canned goods, baby formula, their diapers. There was a need for everything and anything on a humanitarian scale. And I just felt that I had an ability to have a voice or be somebody, a collection point or kind of a, I don't want to say a beacon, but obviously, the news media came out in droves as well. I had everybody from Al Jazeera to South China Sun, literally, from all over the world, people wanting to get a human story. And outside of New York, Ukraine has the largest Ukrainian diaspora here. We have over 100,000 Ukrainian Americans in the tri-state area, and they know that they want to get Veselka, being the longest standing Ukrainian American business in the tri-state area, want to get a real life, feel good story. My staff were in shock. No, but nobody could talk.
Yeah.
They said, you know what? You're the best person to represent us. Tell them that this is a tragedy. This has got to stop. You know, I wasn't very well versed. I've done a few interviews, but I've definitely brushed up on, you know, handshakes and eye contact and some key vocabulary and how to express my opinions about certain, you know, the situations. And the staff appreciated that. And I think what Veselka has always been, as a, not only as a community center, it's become a melting pot for all employees of all in New York, and any restaurant has a variety of different nationalities. It really is a melting pot. I've got people from South America, Latin America, Bangladesh, India, and then a bunch of Slavic countries, not only Ukraine, but the majority are Ukrainians. But they all came to support each other. They all rallied around each other. And in what better way to get through this strategy, but tragedy, by coming to work with other co-workers that support you. And so it's been a whirlwind. I created a short with the help of some others. We have created a short documentary that was going to be initially for my father's retirement. And it just blew up into a capturing of the different events in the course of the first year of the war. And many politicians, celebrities invited to a variety of different events. I hosted Ukrainian baseball team, and the documentary just recently came out. Like I said, on the day before the second anniversary, not a lot has changed, unfortunately, from one year to the next. The only thing is that the support has dwindled, and the lack of continued support from our government has drawn, obviously, a lot of ire and you know, questioning of my Ukrainian staff. Why all the support in the first year and not now?
Well, listen, it's like every other advocate. You can't stop. You have to keep beating the drum. But talk about, where can people watch this documentary? Where is it available?
So it had come out the day before on February 23rd here in New York, LA, New Jersey. You can find information on our website, www.veselka.com. It just closed here in New York last night. It's still playing in New Jersey for another week. It's going to be in Chicago, April 8th, in Toronto for a week, beginning April 11th. And again, more information on our website. I think there's talk of it going into Sacramento. And the ultimate goal is to get on a streaming service to share this around the world. The takeaway I would love people to, in watching and not giving away too much, it's not a war movie. It takes place during the war, but it's an antidote to war. And it shows the resilience and perseverance of my staff in basically my history since my grandfather came here and how we persevered. And Ukrainians are very strong and strong-willed and always will advocate for free Ukraine.
Well, I'm really happy that you're being vocal and, you know, and putting together the documentary, because I really think that that's what's needed is, you know, especially being in the news business, is you have to keep reminding people, even during, you know, triumphs and tragedies, you have to keep reminding people because the news cycle can change very quickly. And, you know,
well, it's unfortunate we live in a short news cycle and other conflicts in the world have taken precedent.
Well, even with these dark clouds, it seems like there's been good glimmers of sunlight, let's call it, for you. I know this past year, you were nominated for a James Beard Award, if I'm not mistaken.
During the first year of the conflict, which was a great honor. I mean, after being in business for 69 years at that point, I think it was more about my advocacy and my consistency, because James Beard Awards are usually the top 1% of restaurants who are doing things outside the box and creating food that, you know, normally you would never, you know, consider mixing together, or, you know, creating, you know, dishes with alligator meat or, you know, things out of the, you know, that you would never think would.
Yeah.
But I think it was more about who we stand for, what we stand for. I mean, we've also been serving borscht here for since our inception. I have to think or know that I was one of the first dishes served here. And in the first year of the conflict, there was an issue about where borscht originated, whether it was Ukraine or Russia, and the UNESCO heritage site designated borscht as a Ukrainian heritage dish. So as you know, or maybe don't know, during the course of the first year of the war, I had earmarked all of our borscht sales for humanitarian relief efforts. I just thought that was a way to give back, not only being a center for people to drop stuff off, and I would bring stuff over to the church in terms of the physical donations, but I felt it just became a part of me. I had to give back. It just, that's who I am. I truly believe paying it forward brings tenfold to you. And it still continues to this day. I've created other dishes and partnered with other vendors. City Winery is donating proceeds of some of their Cabernet that they sell me. I have some beer companies, Threes Brewing out of Brooklyn creates a special Veselka Pilsner for us. They created our own branded can that says Veselka Pilsner. We're donating portions of that. I've partnered with the likes of World Central Kitchen. There's an organization called SaveUkraine.org, which is helping reunite children who were kidnapped basically by Russians early on in the war. The Russians obviously were deterred in their advance, but as they retreated, obviously raped, pillaged, and stole, but they also kidnapped children and took them back to Russia to Russify them. That's kind of a backstory that many people don't know about, but there's organizations now in Ukraine that are helping reunite families, children with their rightful parents. It's a sad thing, but I felt like there are ways for me to, a staunch Ukrainian, proud American, I wanted to do what I can. You know, having this platform, it's given me a platform to do my best to give back. I mean, that's
well, I'm glad that you've taken advantage of that. I really am. Yeah. And you know, I have to tell you, the best news is that your platform is expanding to my neighborhood, Williamsburg, Brooklyn. I have to tell you.
We haven't even gotten into that. So we've been planning a renovation of sorts here for many years. My father did the last major renovation here at Second Avenue in 1996. We envisioned and had gone through drawings and plans of renovating this location, the last commercial vacant building or space in the Plast main building came vacant. It was a beloved toy store of 38 years, Dinosaur Hill. She did not have a succession plan. And what Amazon has done to buying gifts online, children's gifts, nobody goes to, you know, if you remember the days of the Toys R Us or places where you go to even support the mom and pop stores that sell toys. They're a dime a dozen now. That came available, and we were planned to break the walls and expand the dining room there, right? Actually, in January of 2022, that was the month before the war. And when the war came, I could not justify closing during the war at any point, just because I wouldn't want to give the symbol that we are not here to support or give some kind of idea that Russia beat us. That's a far stretch, but
I understand.
So we postponed that, but then there are a lot of moving pieces. I had a small kiosk outpost in Essex Market in the Market Line on Delancey Street, had opened prior to COVID. The pandemic really killed that business model. The food halls took a really bad hit and were opened much later than other businesses. There were a lot of things that unfortunately that didn't pan out over there. There was the premise of you're familiar with the High Line. It was something called the Low Line that was supposed to happen at the base of the Williamsburg Bridge. I'm not sure if you're familiar. There's an underground trolley line that still exists. And there was an RFP and some big developer was going to dig that up. I can't imagine the mess that would have caused on the traffic on the Williamsburg. But he was going to create something called the Low Line, bring in these big light-infused light tubes, and you would be able to ride the trolley just for a short distance underground, you know, with all these plants and greenery, and the money dried up. That was the premise of why we believed in a lot of what, with the success of the High Line, we thought the Low Line would be a home run. Unfortunately, that didn't pan out. We closed there. But on the flip side, I am a big believer in the city coming back. Being the optimist that I am, I had the opportunity to take a vacant space in Grand Central. Since September of last year, it's been a home run for us. People Good. Grabbing food on the trains. I'm a big believer the city is coming, has to be back. All these real estate commercial buildings, people have to get back in the office. So now thinking on a bigger scale, I need a bigger space to produce food. So I was able to, with some research and other family members joining me here, found a great space, a bare kind of industrial 5,000 square single story building in Williamsburg. Yes, I know Williamsburg is kind of overdone, but this is kind of on the outskirts of Williamsburg, right off the BQE. I'm planning to build a commissary with a small retail space there that you can get all the classics to go, as well as a small seating area. But the premise there is to build that and produce majority of my food there and then send it around to various locations, as well as we ship nationally.
Well, I'm excited. How long is that going to take to build out?
We started that more than a year ago, and we're on our final legs. We're dealing with a variety of different city agencies. As you discussed before, it's hard enough to run a business, but the DOB, the FDNY, National Grid, Con Ed, the Water Board, it's hard to get all the ducks in a row. But I mean, we had thought around April 1st, but I think I'm very confident by May 1st, we'll be open.
Oh, so you're getting ready to open very soon.
Yep.
All right, well, I'm going to have to meet you there, Jason.
Put it on the, yeah, well, I'm definitely, we're going to have some friends and family, and I got a short list, and you're on it. Don't you worry.
Fantastic. I'm excited. I'm very excited. It's right in my neighborhood. One thing I can't let you leave without asking. Hopefully, we got some people mouth-watering, getting ready to try Veselka if they haven't been there. What do they have to try? What is the signature dish or dishes that you either recommend?
I love everything here in regards to the Ukrainian cuisine. A borscht, you have to try our borscht. If you don't like meat, we have a vegetarian version of it. Any of our handmade pierogi are delicious. I mean, we have 8 different fillings, whether you like them boiled or fried, with sauteed onions, the sour cream, the applesauce. The potato pancakes are one of my favorites. The stuffed cabbage, the paprikash, the bigos. I mean, I can go on and on. There is not one specific thing. I love it all. But you'd be remiss if you didn't have to try some of our Ukrainian classics here. I mean, but I know the food scene, there are a lot of foodies out there, and maybe some are not so adventurous. We have a great burger. We do, breakfast all day. We got great buttermilk buckwheat pancakes that we make from scratch. But the Ukrainian classics are definitely something you have to have when you come.
Well, Jason, this was a kick for me. I'm a big fan.
Thank you so much.
Fantastic. I think, I don't even have to say it. I think it's well enough known throughout New York City, but super excited for you to be opening in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, expanding the business and growing in what is a very difficult business to grow in and a multi-generational one. So I really thank you for your time and look forward to celebrating the opening in Brooklyn.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you for taking the time and, asking me about my history and what I do and why I do it. I mean, it is, like I said, a labor of love, and I love sharing it And, you know, obviously I give a lot of credit. I wouldn't be in this place without people like yourself. So thank you.
Well, listen, you're what makes New York City what it is, right? The most vibrant, diverse city in the world.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a great afternoon.
All right. Take care.
Take care.